Hello and welcome. This is Shirley Mears, and I'm with Champlin Broadcasting. That is Faith, 1640 AM, and True Oldies at 99.7 FM. Today we're visiting with Jim Priest, and Jim Priest will be speaking to the OK Ethics Consortium luncheon in May. We look forward to hearing more about OK Ethics in a bit, but for now, we're going to visit with Jim Priest. And Jim, as our presenter, tell us about yourself and about what you will be discussing.
Affiliated with both the Oklahoma Business Ethics Consortium and the nonprofit organization that I head up called FATE, Fighting Addiction Through Education. And we're going to kind of bring those two spheres together May the 9th for the Business Ethics Luncheon. And I'll be addressing the ethics of dealing with substance abuse in the workplace. One of the most critical problems we face in the state of Oklahoma, and I've become convinced it's the biggest problem bar none, is substance abuse, both from a teen perspective, but also up through older years as well. And so we'll be talking particularly about how to deal with substance abuse in the workplace, that it takes more than just a drug testing policy to truly address it.
Tell me what you think, Jim Priest, about our prison incarceration levels. How many people end up in prison because of a substance abuse issue?
Well, these statistics are corroborated, surely, from a number of different sources, but one of the principal sources we rely on at FATE is the Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. And they estimate about 80% of people that are in prison are there either directly or indirectly as a result of substance abuse. So that means there are people in there, obviously, who were charged with drug-related crimes. They had possession, or they were using, or they were distributing. But there's also a significant number of people in there indirectly because of substance abuse. They were under the influence of alcohol when they attacked somebody, or they broke into somebody's home to get money to buy pills or to steal pills from somebody's medicine cabinet. So as I traveled the state a couple of years ago, visiting most of the counties, I talked to judges and district attorneys and police officers about this issue, and they said it drives about 80% of what we do. The people that we try to put in jail, the people that we have to arrest, domestic violence, it's a significant contributor in all of those things. So the Department of Mental Health says 85% of homicides in the state of Oklahoma are caused or contributed to by substance abuse. 80% of the people in jail are there directly or indirectly because of substance abuse. Probably 60% of domestic violence is attributable to substance abuse, and about 65% of child abuse cases occur because of substance abuse. So it's a huge problem, and it's a problem that some people are only aware of a little bit unless and until it hits somebody in their own family.
I know that a lot of people think of substance abuse as being drugs, but there's a lot of things that we can become addicted to.
Right, no question. And one of the biggest educational objectives that we have at FATE is to educate people that alcohol is a drug. We don't think of it as a drug, but it affects your brain and your behavior, just like a drug does. When we go out and speak, we have what are called SPECT scans. They're kind of like x-rays of your brain, and it shows the impact of regular use of alcohol on your brain. In these pictures, there's like holes in your brain, not literally holes, but dead spots where your brain is not either functioning fully or is only partially functioning. And it's not just while you're under the influence, even in the times when you've sobered up, but the lasting effect still lingers. So we've got a big job in front of us. Our job at FATE, we say, is to educate and to motivate. We don't want just to have people learn interesting facts about substance abuse and alcohol abuse. We want them to do something about it, both in their own lives and in the community.
On your website, I'm looking at a page that talks about common signs and symptoms of drug addiction. I've heard about people who have troubles with alcohol also being classified as just a habitual drinker, not necessarily an alcoholic. What do you think is the difference between a habitual drinker or a person who's considered as an alcoholic or just addiction in general?
My background is not as a professional addictionologist or a medical professional. And so to make a diagnosis of alcoholism is something probably a medical professional should do. There are people who are what I call functional alcoholics. They're able to drink to excess. In my opinion, they are abusing alcohol. They find it difficult to function without it, but they keep their job. They still show up Sometimes they're late, sometimes they're absent. They may have higher incidence of on-the-job injuries, but they're not a skid row bum, you know, laying on the street, which is, I think, most people's typical mental picture of what an alcoholic is. It's somebody who sleeps on a park bench, and it's, you know, they hold up a sign, need $5 for food or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But that prototype is misleading. It's dramatically misleading. Alcoholics are all around us. They look like us. They are many of us. As I say, they show up for their jobs, probably in an average workforce in Oklahoma, anywhere from 10 to 15% of the workforce is struggling with substance abuse addiction. And like I said, they may show up for work, their work performance may be affected, they're going through the motions. They don't look like that guy that sleeps on the park bench, but they are addicts nonetheless.
And then I've heard that a lot of the people who are homeless are people who have just worn their families out with their addictions, and there's no place else to go. When you think about addictions and you think about the problem that our society has with people who struggle with addictions, homelessness is certainly part of that, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think that's another misconception, is that homeless people are people that brought that on themselves and they have an addiction and that's why they're homeless. And I don't know what the statistics are on this, but I think if you talk to organizations like the Rescue Mission or the Regional Food Bank, you quickly find out that there are people that are working poor,
yeah,
that are homeless and hungry and need assistance, but they're not addicts. They're not people that are there because of bad choices they've made or because their brain chemistry has changed the way that they think about the use of alcohol and drugs.
Tell us about ways that you've seen that helps. I know your website has a lot of good information. What would be some of the basic things you'd start with?
We're going to talk about this at the Business Ethics Lunch, and so it's kind of, in the bigger community, the same kinds of principles apply. We're going to talk about the three A's. The first is awareness. Everybody has to develop both a self-awareness, do I have a problem with addiction? That would be a difficult thing to say. And, of course, in 12-step programs, that's one of the things they have you do, is to vocalize, my name is Jim and I'm an alcoholic. Even if I'm not currently using alcohol, I still have that alcoholic tendency or disease, and my brain chemistry has changed. So every person and every organization needs to develop a self-awareness about addiction and substance abuse. Do I have a problem? Do people in my immediate family have a problem? Do people at our workplace have a problem? We know in the state of Oklahoma, we've got a problem. About 8% of our state is addicted to prescription drug and is abusing prescription drugs. That's 240,000 people in our state that are abusing prescription drugs. We're the number one state in the nation per capita for prescription drug abuse. The awareness, we certainly should have it. A number of our media partners had articles and news stories in recent weeks about the problem. It has become, in the words of the Center for Disease Control, it's become an epidemic. So we develop an awareness first. And then the second A that we'll talk about at the Business Ethics Lunch is the approach. What kind of approach are you going to have? Some people have had, over the years, a lock them up and throw away the key approach. These are bad people doing bad things, and we need to get them off the streets and make sure that they're punished. But what we find when you look at the literature is that addiction is not bad people making bad choices. It may start with a bad choice, but it's a disease. It's a disease of the brain, just like mental illness and like diabetes. And so people who have an addiction need to be treated. They certainly need to be dealt with if they're committing crimes. But we have to have the right approach, and we have to make sure that we're not being short-sighted. And then the third thing, people need to take action. It's not enough just to be aware we've got a problem. It's not enough to say, well, okay, philosophically, this is how I would deal with it. We have to take action ourselves. If we've got a problem with an addiction, we need to deal with it, and we need to be tough on ourselves in how we deal with it. And if we've got family members or coworkers or people in our community of friends that have addiction, we need to step up to the plate and address it with them. And sometimes people are reluctant to do that because they feel like, well, you know, I don't want to stick my nose in their business. But we are our brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have earned the right to be heard in a relationship, we need to speak out about substance abuse when we see it.
Well, in so many ways, when we do that, we are helping to take care of not only that person, but their family members and the community at large.
Right. we often talk about the rock in the pond. You know, you can throw a rock in a pond, you can see the circles that come out from there. And that's how it is with addiction and substance abuse. People who abuse substances and are addicted are not affecting only themselves. They have a tremendous impact on their immediate family, their coworkers, and clearly on the state of Oklahoma. In the state of Oklahoma, every year, we spend $7.2 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars, dealing with substance abuse. That's things like corrections and child welfare laws and rehabilitation. And it's hard to wrap our minds around how much is $7.2 billion. Mm-hmm. Well, your listeners who are aware of the Devon Tower that's just about completed here in downtown Oklahoma City, huge, beautiful new building. You could build 9 of those with $7.2 billion.
Oh, goodness.
So that's all that money is just being vacuumed out of our state. So it's not just some one person making a bad choice to drink or to smoke dope or to get K2 or abuse prescription drugs. It has a multiplied rock in the pond effect on family and friends and our community.
When you think about our listeners and those who are interested in learning more about OK Ethics, the business consortium, the luncheon, what would you say is a key question, a key statement to make about that organization and about the presenters and about your presentation on May 9th?
Well, OK Business Ethics was started, I think, perhaps 8 or 10 years ago by Shannon Warren, who is just a fountain of enthusiasm and energy, and this was her dream and her passion. Her philosophy, and I think it's the philosophy of the organization as well and its members, is that ethics is an inside job, inside out. And so we need to develop not top-down strategies and rules and regulations that make people be good. That only goes so far. It's like the kid who grows up and he only behaves himself when his parent is watching. Mm-hmm. And when the parent's not watching, then the kid does all kinds of crazy bad stuff. We need to develop people in our state who are ethical from the inside out, that they're internally motivated, not externally constrained to be ethical. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Business Ethics Consortium does. It brings in speakers who talk about that inside out change in our way of looking at life, our way of dealing with situations, making sure that people are equipped with the toolkit that they need to apply when they get jammed in situations where they have to make ethical decisions. And we all face those. Sometimes they're small, little ones. You know, should I run this red light? Should I cheat a little bit on my taxes? Sometimes they seem small and insignificant and unseen, but those are the kinds of slippery slope decisions that lead us to bigger indiscretions and wrongdoing. When I speak in front of groups on the subject of ethics, nobody gets up in the morning and says, today I think I'm going to embezzle $150,000. They made those decisions a lot earlier before they got to that $150,000 embezzlement decision. They made small decisions. Those small decisions to bend the rules or shade the rules or break the rules become a slippery slope, which ultimately lead to the bigger indiscretions and wrongdoings. C.S. Lewis once said, the road to hell is not a sharp drop off the cliff, but a gentle slope underfoot, without warnings and without turnings. And I think that's a very profound statement for us to keep in mind. It's not the drop off the cliff, terrible misdeed today. Mm-hmm. It's the little decisions we make. And so we have to train ourselves to be thoughtful and make ethical choices every day as we go along.
I have so enjoyed visiting with you, Jim, and looking forward to hearing your presentation on May 9th at the OK Ethics Consortium Luncheon, Business Luncheon. And that information is available on their website, isn't it?
There's information, okethics.org is the website. And then, of course, additional information about FATE, Fighting Addiction Through Education, is available at our website as well, FATE.org.
And then if our listeners wanted to just give you a call, Jim Priest, what would be the best number?
My cell phone is the best way to reach me. I always carry that with me. So area code 405-202-8863. We do prevention education. We're not a treatment service. So if you're someone looking for help with a loved one, for yourself, for treatment, we can help you with referrals, but we don't do any of that ourselves. We try to get people before they get into that problem and need treatment.
And then again, what is your website?
It's fate, F-A-T-E, .org.
What does that mean?
Fighting addiction through education. We seek to educate and motivate Oklahomans to do something about what we think is the number one problem facing the state.
All right. Thank you so much. We look forward to visiting with you then. And I love being able to share good news and give resources to our listeners. So when you get a minute, you might want to consider going to OklahomaIntegrityNetworkCenter.com, where you can hear Jim Priest interview at full length. Join us again next time here on Where Shirley at Champlin Broadcasting on Faith 1640 AM and True Oldies 99.7.